Good morning. Michael, what day is your appointment?
This Thursday.
Okay, this Thursday Michael goes to the doctor and hopefully gets released from his surgery also. So if you guys could be in prayer for that, that would be good as well. Well, we are making our way through the alphabet here in the ABCs of Christian faith, and we have three letters left, and that means about mid-September we're going to be starting a new series. I want to plug it now because I think it's going to bring some great interest to people, but we'll be starting a series on creation, and that will be, Lord willing, Sunday, September 11th. And so you want to mark your calendars for that. But this morning we are in the letter X of our lessons through the alphabet. And you know, the booklet that these correspond with makes it very, very clear that there are absolutely, without a doubt, some things that Baptists should not do. And you can take the lesson that's provided in the booklet, and it talks about, it's a very comprehensive look on current sociological sins. And what I mean by that are sins like alcohol, smoking, gambling, types of music, and even nightclubs and dancing and things like that. And the author of the book calls those, since we're in the letter X, he calls those X-rated for Christians. And he says these are absolutely X-rated for Christians, and they are. He's completely accurate. And my suggestion to you is, if you're interested in any of those topics, maybe you're struggling with one of those topics, or maybe you know someone that's struggling with one of your topics, talk to Tim Alexander. We can get you a copy of that lesson that has Bible verses that uniquely support why Baptists should not be participating in those specific things. I look at that and I think it's wonderful, but for a crowd this size, I don't have time to talk about each one of those things. And so let me back up, because I think it's absolutely, Baptists should not sin. We should not sin. Christians should not sin. And so instead of X-rated for Christians, this morning I'm titling the lesson, X Marks the Spot. And we'll talk about that here in a second, exactly why it's called X Marks the Spot. But let's talk about sin today. And sin is any action, feeling, thought, that goes against God's standards. It means falling short of God's righteousness. Take your Bibles to Judges chapter 20. Because there are several words in the Bible for sin, but in Judges chapter 20, it has my favorite word, Hebrew word, in the Bible for sin, if you will. In Judges chapter 20, now this is a horrific story that we're not going to talk about in Judges chapter 20. And the response of this tribe of Benjamin in this story is not good. And everything's not good here. And you can read that if you don't know what I'm talking about. But there's a verse 16, that is fascinating. So Judges chapter 20, verse 16, it says, and in verse 15, it talks about there's these 700 men out of this tribe. And it says, among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, verse 16, left-handed. Every one could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. Now, if you put your Hebrew translation hat on, you could translate that literally that they could not sin. Because the Hebrew word here for sin means miss the target or the mark. Now, in this story, they're saying that, in fact, if you study this out, they're saying that they could sling a stone 200 yards and not miss the breadth of a hair. They could not sin. Now, when you read the Bible and you're talking about sin in the eyes of God, that's why you read phrases like sin against God. Because that means missing God's mark, missing God's target. And that's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark or the target. And as the Creator, God, you know, He sets the standard for what the marks are. He's given us the standard. We hold the standard. We know what the target is. We know what the marks are. And according to the standard, we are accountable to Him for our actions for missing the mark. We are. You know, and listen, it doesn't matter if you miss the mark by an inch or a mile. You missed the mark. You've missed the mark. It's either right on target, bullseye, or it's not. And you have to understand that. And don't try to convince yourself that you hit the mark 99.9% of the time, so you're okay. Let's think about this. If anyone's ever flown to Chicago Airport, O'Hare, if you've ever flown in there, you know 99.9% of the time means that two planes a day would crash. Is that pretty good? Good odds? Not, I mean, 99.9% of the time, but yet every single day two planes would crash? That sounds unacceptable to me. How about this? How about 99.9% of the time? That means 12 babies born every day would be given to the wrong parent. Hey, 99.9% of the time. That's not bad. I'm okay. Are you okay with that? No, there are certain things that 99.9% of the time is just not good enough. And when it comes to sin and sinning against God, even 99.9% of the time is unacceptable. Unacceptable. So the question is, you know, is it possible to avoid sinning completely? Absolutely not. All have sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and I'm going to read a lot. I would encourage you to write these down if you need them. But Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's verse 8 of chapter 1. Verse 10 of chapter 1 goes on to say that if we say that we have not sinned, that we make Him a liar and that His Word is not in us. So the Bible tells us that everyone has sinned. The first humans, Adam and Eve, and we're going to talk about them starting next month in great detail when we go through the creation story. They were sinless at the beginning. I can't imagine. I've often said this. I'm going to continue to say this. Think of your best day. Your best day. Oh, man, yesterday was a great day. Actually, for me, last week was a great day because I was on the beach. And I was like, man, the best day possible. The Garden of Eden in the sinless time of Adam and Eve was 1,000% better than your best day. I mean, we don't understand living in a world where there's no sin. And it is just sounds so incomprehensible to us. But Adam and Eve, at the beginning, were sinless. And that is because they're created in the perfect image of God, according to chapter 1, verse 27 of Genesis. However, they lost their perfection by disobeying God. They missed His mark. And because of that, according to Romans chapter 5, when they had children, they passed on this defect of sin. Their children, because they were born, inherited this imperfection called sin. So if you're born today, if you've been born, you have a sin nature, and that's where it came from. So we've all missed the mark. Now, we're all born sinners if we're born. But we do have a choice to sin or not on a daily basis when it comes down to these unique choices we have. And we've looked at this earlier when we were talking about obedience. But take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. You're in Judges chapter 20. Just go back a few chapters to Genesis chapter 4. I want to show you this choice that God gave Cain. And again, we looked at this in greater detail in the lesson on O, but I think it still applies today in the lesson on sin. In Genesis chapter 4, let's just jump in reading in verse number 3. It says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So let's look at this again comprehensively. We looked at every one of these verses in the lesson on obedience. But God graciously warns in verse number 6, God graciously warns Cain to check his sin. The Lord asks Cain, why are you angry? Why are you depressed? Do you know angry people? Do you know depressed people? They've missed God's mark some way. They've missed God's mark, just like Cain here. He says, why is your countenance fallen? Remember, God doesn't ask questions that he doesn't know the answer to. He understands exactly the answer. It's not that God lacks information. He asks the question to get the hearer to think about what really matters here. And he's telling Cain, your anger and your foul mood should tell you something about yourself. It should tell us something about ourselves. Your anger and your countenance, and the reason you're angry and depressed is that you weren't willing to submit to my mark, to my standard. That's what God's telling him. You know what my mark is, and you're failing to acknowledge it, and so you're missing the mark. You didn't get your way, Cain. And then you saw that I accepted your brother because in this particular area, your brother hit the mark. He did exactly what the standard was in this particular area. And his sacrifice was accepted and you grew jealous. So we've got anger, depression, and jealousy all right here. You grew jealous. And then you saw again that I accepted his sacrifice. And it all stems from pride. Pride. Cain. This is what God is telling him in verse number 6. It stems from sin, from you missing my mark. And then he goes on to verse number 7. If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. Or shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You know, in the previous verse, in verse number 6, God asked Cain why he felt so much anger and depression when God rejected his offering. Now he's offering Cain an opportunity to repent of this sin. If you do well, if you do right, if you hit the mark in this particular area, you won't have this anger and this jealousy and this depression. It'll go away in this situation. And God has shown favor towards Abel for his offering, and that is enraged Cain. I want you to understand that. God asked Cain to adjust his understanding of what is good to God's understanding of goodness. That's what God is doing to us every day. We open the Bible and read. Every day we come and hear Bible preaching and Bible teaching. God is asking us to adjust our understanding of what we think is good and align it with what God says is good. God says, here's the mark. Here's the target. If you don't hit it, it's sin. If you're off just a little, dude, it's sin. But if you hit it, then you're right with me. Now that is a hard task. I mean, look at us. Do you own mirrors? Look at you. Look at the world we live in. And we're born sinners. But we'll deal with that here in a second. You know, God is saying, listen, Cain, you hit the mark. You hit the mark on sacrifices here in this particular area. I'm going to be pleased with you. If Cain insists on setting his own mark of what is acceptable, the Bible says that sin lieth at the door. That's what he says here. Now this is very interesting. Sin desires to own us. And our refusal to let God set the mark for right and wrong in our lives is the fast track to sin. But get this. God has already told Cain, you're sinning with your anger and your depression. So when he says sin is lying at the door, he's not saying you haven't sinned yet, but if you keep doing this, you're gonna sin. That's not what he's saying. He's saying your anger and your depression is sin. But if you continue down this path, it's going to take you to a place that you don't want to go. Because it's lying right there at the door. And that's what God is saying. And God I read this almost as God is pleading with Cain to repent, to see God's mark. Have you ever felt that way? in an area of your life where God has shown you the mark and He's pleading with you, and maybe it's not an audible plea, but He's put people in your life. He's put messages in front of you. He's put text in front of you in your Bible reading, pleading you to get off your mark and to hit God's mark. That's what God is doing to Cain right now. I mean, He's just warning him of the destructive power of sin. This is just, I mean, look at that. Sin lieth at the door. Your anger, Cain, and your jealousy now is sin. And if you continue to go down this path, it is going to take you to a place. It's going to get a hold of you. Sin lies at the door. I mean, it just gets this idea of this angry animal that's crouching ready to pounce on you. I mean, it's terrifying to think of to me. And the consequences of that are going to be out of your control. Now, this is very interesting here. The last part of verse number 7. It says, "And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." That is a very interesting statement. And it's very familiar if you go back to chapter 3. So flip over to chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. Because we've read this before. We read this when God is talking to Eve about marriage post-sin. Post-sin, in a sin-cursed world, now God tells this to Eve in verse number 16. "Unto the woman," He said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to the husband, and he shall rule over thee." God said that to Eve in chapter 3. In chapter 4, God is talking to Cain and saying, sin's at the door. And then He says this. Now, I didn't go to Bible college, but there's two schools of thought I believe you could have here. And I believe they're both right. And I'm not going to argue with anyone, and I'm going to accept correctness if I'm wrong. But I believe both of these things are right. Number one, I believe God is saying that in reference to Abel. Cain desires, he's the eldest, he desires Abel's respect. He's the oldest son. And God is saying, if you repent and you do right, Abel will see that and he'll respect you because you did the right thing. And that's what the oldest son wants. Trust me. He's saying, "Unto thee shall be his desire," being Abel's, "and thou shalt rule over him," being the oldest and having his respect. I can totally buy that if that's the truth. Or it could be in reference to sin. Because earlier, God's talking about this in marriage. And remember the bond and the union of marriage when we were talking about marriage? God could be saying, sin lieth at the door, and sin desires you. Just like God's describing the marriage of Eve and Adam and the bond and the union and the becoming of one that we've looked at in marriage, sin wants to control your life and wrap you up and have a bond and a union with you that's as strong as a biblical marriage. Now that's scary if that's what it is. That is completely scary. But He gives a good plea. He goes, but thou shalt have rule over him. And there's going to be a way that we can be forgiven from sin. So I don't know which one's right. I'll just be honest with you. I'm standing up here in a room full of people, 100 plus people. I don't know. They both could be right. I know this. Sin is scary. And sin wants to control you. And sin, you know what the Bible says about sin? In James chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." I know sin brings forth death. In Romans chapter 6, verses 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So I know that the wages, the cost for sinning, again, is death. I know in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, it says, "But If ye will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So I know sin bringeth forth death. I know sin is going to cost death. I know sin is going to find me out. I also know that in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, we read this every single month. It says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sin. So I know that sin binds. It brings death. It is death. It will find you out, and it binds you up. That's what I know. And don't be confused. God doesn't do that to the sinner. Sin does that to the sinner. You got to get that straight. God's not doing those things to the sinner. It's sin. It's sin. And there are many types of sin. Oh my. There are many types of sin that God reveals in His Word. There's more than just drinking alcohol and smoking and gambling and dancing and listening to satanic music. There's more than that. I have an incomplete. This is incomplete. Do not think this is comprehensive. Here is an incomplete list. If you want Bible verses for each one of these, you can talk to me later. But let me just give you an incomplete list of sin. We're going to list some sin right here. Not loving God with all your being. That is sin. Irreverent use of God's holy name. God has a mark for that. If you miss it, that's sin. Coveting your neighbor's things. Blaspheming God's name. Whining. Complaining. Speaking ill of your parents, suing other Christians, divisions among brothers, sexual immorality, loving yourself too much, talking to dead people, homosexual activity, forsaking the church, not loving your neighbor, disobedience to God, unforgiveness, laziness, pornography, loving money, crude joking, idol worship, making idols, substance abuse, gluttony, stealing, cursing, anger, bribery, abortion, adultery, hypocrisy, gossip, greed, sorcery, murder, slander, lust, hate, pride. God has a mark for all of those and more. And if you miss the mark, that's sin. We sound hopeless. That is a, that's not a full list, but that list alone. Where do we go from here? God has a mark for each one of those. And He's given us the mark for each one of those. It's either a precept or a principle that we've learned about in previous lessons. That God has, because it doesn't say, thou shalt not smoke in the Word of God. It doesn't say that. But there's principles for each one of those things, or precepts, and more in the Word of God. And God has a mark. And thankfully, God has given us a solution from the deadly consequences of sin. Though sin earns us a just condemnation in death and hell, absolutely, God has mercifully provided forgiveness to anyone who repents of their sin and places their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 1 John. I've read 1 John, but go to 1 John chapter 1. I want to show you some verses because I want you to understand sin is real, but the answer to sin, the solution to sin, is just as exciting. Go to 1 John chapter 1, and that'll get us close to our next one. 1 John chapter 1. I read to you 1 John chapter 1, 8. In 1 John chapter 1, 10. In 1 John chapter 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. All. That's a bigger list than what I just read. All unrighteousness. Now that's amazing. And when you read that, you might say, how? Well, the good news is the Bible tells us how. And you'll want to write this down. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, stay in 1 John because that's going to be close to the next thing. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. Talking about God has made Jesus Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You understand? We're born sinners. We're born because our parents sinned. We're born with a sin nature, and we're going to pass that on. God, because of what we've learned with Abel, God required a blood sacrifice for sin. But they had the Hebrews had to do this yearly. And in the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus Christ offered one time and forever to take care of everything. So what God needed was perfect blood. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it said that Jesus Christ knew no sin, but He became sin so that we might gain righteousness. God required a sacrifice of perfect blood. It had to be someone that wasn't born with a mom and a dad, because that's how we got our sin nature. That is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us so. And so Jesus Christ is the spotless sacrifice for sin. He was that offering. So the solution, go to Revelation chapter 3. The solution to sin that's lying at the door. Did you get that? In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, sin, He's telling you, He's like, Cain, watch out. Your anger, your depression, your pride, your jealousy, those are sin. You continue down that. Sin is lying at the door, is what He's saying. It's crouching down there. It's going to get you. It wants to consume you. It wants to have this bond and control over you. It's lying there. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door. I like that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and him with me. The answer to sin is Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Boy, the Bible is perfectly written. And I understand the context of this situation being to a church, but it's kind of awesome. That earlier we read about sin lying there, but when we talk about Christ being at the door, He's standing there. He's standing there. That's this posture of dominance, if you will. Now let me just read one more, and you should write this down. Isaiah 55, 7. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7. That is a beautiful verse. Because that just describes the fact that I am unrighteous, I have thoughts, I have actions, and this reminds me that even though it seems like a dog that returns to his vomit, even though I've been forgiven of my sin, even though I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I still have this old flesh that we've talked about a couple weeks ago. Oh, it's an enemy that stands in the way of me and daily victory. But whatever it is, whether it's a thought or an action, it's like a dog returning to a vomit. I find myself doing what I shouldn't be doing, but I can go to Isaiah 55:7 and I can say, listen, I need to forsake those thoughts. I need to return unto the Lord. He is abundantly pardoning me. I love it. I love the fact that He says that He'll separate you from your sin and He'll make it far away as from the east is to the west. He will remove it. You'll be completely removed of your sin when you're saved. And that doesn't mean you're removed from sin. You're removed of the sin that you're performing in. And when God looks at you, He sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ once you're saved. Now that is amazing. That sounds wonderful. That sounds exciting. Be honest with yourself. This might be your first time here. This might be your 100th time here. You know there's a mark. You know that there's a standard or a target. Even if you don't see it in yourself yet, you definitely see it outside. And then eventually you might see it in yourself. God has made a mark. We're born sinners. We're missing that mark. We need Jesus Christ. We need Jesus Christ. God has given us a chance. He's saying, Cain, if you do right, there's time. There's time. If you do right, everything will be good. abundantly pardon. If you don't do right, sin is going to take you to places you never dreamed of in a terrible way. Sin is a terrible thing. And again, the consequences of sin, they're not from God. They're from sin. You've got to get that through your head. Don't be mad at God for the consequences of sin in your life. Because that bitterness drives a wedge between you and God when God's saying, I will pardon abundantly. You've missed the mark, not him. You know, I call this X marks the spot. I think it's cute, God, Jesus Christ, spotless. Use the word there. Mark, I've said that 1,000 times. X, like it or not, X has identified with Christ. People are mad about Xmas. Don't give the devil and the atheists that much credit. Xmas has been around since the mid-1500s. It's a Greek letter. It's the Greek letter chi, C-H-I. It's the first letter in the word Christ. Christians have been saying that since the 1500s. They've called him X. It's not to remove Christ from Christmas. Now, I don't say it. If I see it, I don't pronounce it Xmas. I pronounce it Christmas. Because I know X is Greek for chi, which is the letter in Christ. I know these things. We should all know these things and not get mad. But X marks the spot. X marks the spot. Christ is spotless. He hit the mark that we can't hit. We need to put our faith and trust in Him. If you're not saved this morning, I want you to think about everything that you've seen and everything you've heard. And by the way, if I was here last week, I loved the lesson. I read Ben's lesson. I would also say this. Do this. This will help you. This is the only thing I'm going to add to last week's lesson. Do a Bible study about how many times the words seen and hear and heard, seen and heard, are together in the same phrase. Seen and heard. You can go to blueletterbible.com and type those words in. Seen and heard. Every single time there's a witnessing story, it's someone who said what he saw and what he heard. He says, this is what I've seen, and this is what I've heard. You want to witness to people? All you have to do is say what you've seen and what you've heard. And if you don't think you've seen anything, and you come here, you're missing out. Because God has been working in our church and the church members' lives abundantly. So you want to witness to someone? All you got to do is say what you've seen and what you've heard. What you've seen in your eyes, it's a great study. I would encourage you all to take the time to do that. Hopefully you do your own individual Bible studies. Do that. That's what I would add on to last week. But this week, don't let sin light at the door. Don't. We're going to miss the mark, but don't let that be an excuse. I used to have family members that would be like, yeah, we're human. No, that's not good enough. Yeah, yeah. 12 babies every day given to the wrong parent. Yeah, 99.9. Yeah. Not with God. I don't want to miss heaven with it. I don't. Sin is a terrible thing. Jesus Christ is the solution to sin. All right, let's get ready for Big People Church.